Hey there! Are you tired of reading the same dull sites on your boss's time every day at work? Looking for something new, exciting, and that will get you the strange looks from your coworkers when they wonder what the hell you're laughing at? Look no further than the brand new webcomic, Asylum on 5th Street. It's updated every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, is drawn by a hot redhead and written by a hairy monkey. Now, with more pop culture references than you can shake a pie at. So check it out today at asylumon5thstreet.com. That's asylumon5thstreet.com. Come on, you know you want to.
We're back with more badass liberal talk. Bart Cop Radio.
Hey everyone, this is Tommy Mack from Los Angeles, and I'm here with my good pal Bart Cop. I'm going to be reading you the news. So Bart, how's it going for you down there in Knuckle Drag?
Most excellent. We are here. We are live.
Man, something interesting happened last night here in Los Angeles. We had a thunderstorm. Now, I know for most of the people in the United States, that's kind of like, and so? But for anyone who knows Los Angeles, not only do we hardly ever get rain, but we certainly don't get lightning. And so when the sky starts lighting up and, you know, the thunder is roaring, people walk out of their houses like they're being abducted by aliens. They just can't figure out. It's like, what is that? Just thought I'd share that with you, Bart.
In Oklahoma, when a storm's so bad, it hails the size of buffalo testicles.
Buffalo testicles. How long have you been trying to work that into conversation, Bart?
Well, I think it's real confusing. They always give out the hail measurements in coin sizes. It's either dime or nickel or penny or quarter-sized hail. But if it's real big, they have to go to the buffalo testicles.
Buffalo testicles. I wonder if there's some kind of a measuring meter for that. The buffalo testometer, yes.
Only in Oklahoma.
Well, a lot of things happened, I guess, in the last 24 hours, Bart. So we start off with our good friends in Iraq. Well, apparently 26 die in an Iraq suicide blast. A tanker truck loaded with explosives rammed an Italian military police headquarters in Iraq on Wednesday, killing at least 26 people, including 18 Italians. It was, in fact, Italy's worst single combat loss since World War II and came amid rising pressure to expedite the transfer of power to Iraqis. Why are they killing Italians? What did they do?
You know, it's always a big mistake to put your safety in the hands of this bungling president.
That's just, what did the Italians do to the Iraqis? The Italians didn't do anything. They're just hanging out there being Italians. They're just going, hey, Italians, ciao. And then they get blown to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you.
I think the bad guys are just trying to make the point that if you're America's friend, you're going to die.
Yeah.
And I tell you, it's about to get a whole lot worse over there. That same story, if you read down a few paragraphs, there's a deal where Bremer is in Washington now, and they're trying to work out this extra-fast transition, which, if you translate it in English, it means we got an election coming up, and we got to have nothing to do with that mess over there come next November. So he's putting pressure on Bremer to speed up this transition deal. So what they're going to do, whoever's standing there, they're going to say, dude, this is your country, we're out of here, and then we're going to pack up and leave, and then Saddam's going to come back and torture everybody who took over in his place.
Absolutely, man. It's I love starting off the news with a happy thought like that, but, man, I'm with you. It's just, it's going downhill, and no one wants to see anyone, our boys, die, but they shouldn't be there in the first place. I think we can all agree on that.
It's a far cry from being welcomed as liberators.
Jesus.
You know, the entire Iraqi populace is in this extremely horrible position that whoever wins over there is going to be their overlords. Well, now, it would be real nice if we won and we had some benevolent overlord over there, but if we pack up and leave, Saddam's coming back. So anybody that befriended America in Saddam's absence is going to be beheaded and detesticled.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, on another side, you know, the Democrats are kind of blocking a few of Bush's extreme far right-wing wacko judge nominations. The truth is, the Democrats have, in fact, approved most of Bush's nominations to federal courts, but there's just a few, maybe I think about 20, that are just a little too far to the right. Well, to bring attention to this, our good friends in the GOP Senate are holding a talkathon, 30 hours of standing up and saying, why aren't you letting our right-wing wacko judges get through? How do you feel about that, Bart?
I have no idea what they're doing. It. I mean, they're getting a little bit of ink out of it, but what's the point? I mean, if they went out and stood on the lawn and chanted, we're not going to take it anymore, it would probably create more press, and that's something I've been trying to get the Democrats to do for years. If they would just all, hell, just get in a pile and say, this guy doesn't know what he's doing, he's out of his mind, I guarantee that's going to make the front page of the Washington Whore Post the next morning. Publicity is free if you just do it right.
Absolutely. Hey, speaking of more politics, Dean receives yet another union backing, which right now puts him extremely further ahead in the race for the Democrats' nomination.
I think Dean is smart. I think he's showing leadership. He's showing vision by going to the internet and having these, I think they said his average contribution was $64, something like that, but he's getting it in by the millions.
That's crazy. Well, here's something interesting about Dean being the extreme front runner is that he actually may be competition for Clark's nomination. I know that you've been kind of following Clark pretty closely. Between the two, right now, who do you think has a better chance of beating Bush?
I refuse to answer. Well, no, I'm sorry, to answer your question, Clark, but I think what they ought to do is Dean and Clark ought to get on one ticket, tell the other seven to take a hike. What they have got to do is come up with a united front as fast as possible, because this whole, the diminutive nine or the whatever, you know, they're being called a lot of pejorative names by these talk radio Nazis. So I say get rid of the other seven and let Clark and Dean arm wrestle to see who gets the top. You would kind of figure to put Dean in charge and have Clark, I mean, what we'd have here is Dean would be the president domestically and Clark would call the shots overseas. Well, I guess him and his Secretary of State, Clinton.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it shakes up between those two, because I really do think that they will be the ones to watch come the primary season.
You know, those Gallup poll people, they say Bush is likely to be reelected, and I agree, and it's primarily because the Democrats don't want it bad enough. The Democrats, if election knocks on the door and says, hello, can I come in, the Democrats might answer the door, but they're not willing to get off the couch and go work for this election.
Well, you know, I don't know. When I read about that Gallup poll, which says Bush is likely to be reelected, to be blunt, it scares the crap out of me. This is just, it's frightening that when everything is still going so bad with our country that people would possibly think that he's doing a good enough job to continue.
Well, but that's the main reason I have yet to endorse a primary candidate, but if I was going to, I guess that's kind of defeating the point. But Clark is the guy who can make Bush look extra stupid.
And that's not very hard to do.
Exactly. But people are going to vote their fear in this next election, because Bush is going to, I don't know if he's going to arrange some terrorist acts, but he'd be crazy to stop them. If I was the BFEE in control of the whole world, I'm not going to let some lack of a bombing take away my chances to continue controlling the world. So they're either going to set up something or allow it to happen so Bush can remind people, stick with me, I can protect you. Now, check out the logic in that. The more bombings there are, the more we're going to look to Bush as the guy that can stop the bombings.
Well, that's not quite working out for our Israeli and Palestinian friends. It just escalates into a worse situation.
You know, on top of that, this monkey Bush has raised $100 million for a primary that he's got no opponent.
You got to love that. You know, that takes some balls. You know,
$100 million means so little to these people. Trust me, they've got these pipelines set up in Iraq. They're making, I don't know how many millions of barrels they're pumping per day, but we're not getting any kind of accounting out of it. Not only did we give the BFEE this $87 million, and I'm pissed off at every Democrat that voted to give this $87 billion to the BFEE, but not only are they having the $87, they're getting retail for all this oil that's being pumped out.
It's amazing that people just don't get it. Newsweek ran a front cover article called $87 Billion Bush's Mess, and they were doing a little bit of the accounting and cronyism involved, and the letters came back to Newsweek saying, how dare you call it a mess? We're doing good over there. And I'm thinking, did you not read the article?
Well, have you heard about these wacky Catholics?
Catholics. You keep scrubbing. You keep waxing. But they keep coming back. The Catholics. Yeah, well, apparently, the Catholic bishops are condemning gay unions.
Well, it seems to me like they ought to be condemning priest-child unions. Why don't they leave the gays the hell alone? The gays aren't bothering anybody. The gays have a sexual outlet that may not be my cup of tea, but at least they have an outlet that helps them to avoid attacking some six-year-old. I hope that came out right.
Well, you know, it's funny the fact that they actually voted against a zero-tolerance policy for pedophilia inside the clergy. And I'm sorry, there's got to be zero tolerance policy for clergy. I mean, this just doesn't make sense. What is, well, it's okay if you only screw a few kids, just a few kids. You know, keep it under the radar. No!
It is so mind-boggling that anyone would even consider that. The idea, what they need to do is be on live TV and get whatever 30 bishops, the 30 highest-ranking bishops in America, get them on live TV and say, all those who think you should get a free rape, raise your right hand. And all those who don't raise their right hand are voting for a no-tolerance policy, and we could get this shit passed by the end of the day. Well, hey, what do you think about these dangerous drugs that are coming out of Canada? You see, if Pfizer makes a pill, let's say they make, well, Viagra. I don't know if they make Viagra. Let's just say they do.
They do make Viagra. Don't ask me how I would know.
Well, you're a young man. But they make Viagra, and they ship it to Chicago, and it's safe. But when they make Viagra and they ship it to Vancouver, it's not safe. What is it about the Viagra being in Canadians on Canadian soil that makes it dangerous to take?
You should know that. It's Canadians. It's all about Canada, man. You know, they're just that wacky, socialist, kooky country to the north. You know, the 51st state. It's Canadians. Freaking Canadians.
But it's just amazing how their being Canadian makes the drug dangerous. It's like if you took a nickel across the border at Niagara Falls and then brought it back. Well, that's a bad nickel now. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, Pfizer is just doing that because they're a bunch of greedy corporate bastards.
And our president is a whore taking Pfizer money to lie to us and say the drugs are dangerous.
You know, I just had a really bad image because you're talking about our president being a whore, and we were just talking about Viagra, and I thought about George Bush taking Viagra, and I have lost my appetite for the rest of the day.
He only gets an erection when there's oil involved.
Oh.
I think Pickles keeps a can of 10W-40 by the bedside to get him going. That's how the twins came out.
Oh. Speaking of, that Paris Hilton video is making the rounds on the internet. Have you?
Where?
Where?
I've been looking everywhere.
Well, I'll send you a link. Not that I'm actually trying to spread the pornography of others, but, well, actually, I am.
I think we can all admit that it's wrong to enjoy a video of a very good-looking woman having sex. I think we all can agree on that.
Yeah, in fact, I think every man or woman that has either pictures or videos of women having sex and enjoying it, they should destroy them right now and send your dues into Jerry Falwell.
You know, I'll tell you another thing that came up years ago, but the idea of these women that are turning 50 decide now to pose for Playboy, I don't like that. I don't like it at all. I think that's a mistake. I think all these really super hot babes and they're in their 20s, they should take the pictures now. And when they turn 50, release the pictures. What? This Farrah Fawcett stuff, I mean, pretty much every man in America, I'm 50, Farrah's probably 50 or whatever, close to it. And for 20, 30 years, every man in America wanted to see her naked. Finally, she gets naked and it's like, lady, what are you doing? Put your clothes on.
You're ruining what I thought you would look like. You know, we're going to get a bunch of letters about this misogynistic rant. You know that.
I'll just remind him that you brought it up.
Damn. Foiled again.
I didn't want to talk about it. Tommy made me.
Would have gotten away with it had not been for those Bart Cop and those kids. All right, moving right along. Hey, let's talk about some money.
Yo.
All right.
Oh, if I could say one more thing about a couple of letters in the USA Today caught my eye. You know, the USA Today is the greatest newspaper in the world.
It is the greatest newspaper in the world.
You know, there's this guy, Robert Baldelli in Jessup, PA. He writes in about all the negative coverage the war is getting, and he says, by negative reporting, I am referring to, among other things, the casualty counts published every day. Well, yeah, what a mistake to point out to people how many boys are dying over there. Yeah, how unreasonable to our president war hero to mention how many people he got killed that fucking day.
How is it possible that so many people in the country are just so brainwashed? Why wouldn't you want all the information possible about what your country is doing overseas, domestically, everything?
Well, I think the president's friends and foes alike, everybody wants to avoid the thought that we've got another Vietnam on our hands. I mean, if you're for Bush, you don't want that. And even if you hate Bush, nobody wants another Vietnam. I mean, I've mentioned this several times that they're going to have to put an Iraqi war memorial on the mall in D.C. And the only question is how many links You know, say you put whatever 300 names per link on the wall. How many links will the wall have? If we just have one link, there's 300 dead. Well, we already are in our second link now. But are we going to have 8 links? 10, 15, 30, 200? It's funny when people talk about how Bill Clinton was a draft resister or whatever. You know, I point out that Bill Clinton wanted fewer names on the Vietnam Wall, and it seems to me anyone who is against Bill Clinton wants more names on the Vietnam Wall. Now, somebody explain to that. I've been in several debates with that, and boy, when you bring that up, the other guy's pretty much screwed.
Absolutely. Well, I think we're pretty much in agreement, you and I, that it's time to start using the Q word. That's quagmire. I think it's only going to get worse because the insurgency is going to continue.
Yeah, about 50 or 75 issues back, I entitled an issue quagmire, and I think I titled it too early. Sometimes I have a problem with that.
No, you're just clairvoyant. You're like Mrs. Cleo or something, except, you know, you're not fat and black and have a really bad accent.
Oh, hey, if I could do one more. This letter to the editor is about my good friend, my good close personal friend, Michael Newdow. He's the doctor.
Yeah, who's suing to get the under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, and this donkey, Darren Reed of Gallup, New Mexico, he writes in, the pledge case plaintiff fails to realize God and religion are not the same. Religion is a tool. Boy, you could stop right there. Religion is a tool people can use to make sense of God or something else perceived as higher than themselves. Plenty of non-religious people believe in God. Well, that's a little strange.
That is a bit strange.
It says the word God in the pledge is no more religious than the word flag. Well, now we're getting into really stupid territory.
And then I love his last sentence. Newdow has left logic behind. Damn, someone put some wacky shit in his Cheerios.
If only he would be as logical as the religious people.
Like I said, I really have no problem with people being religious. It's just when it's forced on us and it's encroaching in... You know, as you remember, the under God was placed in the Pledge of Allegiance during the 50s.
Really? It's not like there's some 220-year tradition. And,
no.
You know, may I say, screw tradition. There's just no reason to do something because tradition says so. I mean, if I traditionally get a beer at 8:30, that doesn't mean if I get one at 8:25, I got to go get another one because that's tradition. That's just stupid.
Yeah, and if we were still holding fast to tradition, we would be still burning witches at the stake.
Ooh, and hanging Negroes.
Yep, and Negroes were never our enemy. It's the Canadians.
And Nebraskans. Someone wrote the other day about it's not fair for us to be sniping at each other when we all know Nebraska is the real enemy. I don't know what that meant unless it was college football, but it sounded funny.
That's true. Actually, just for the record, I love Canada. They're a great country and a great people, so please don't start throwing bag bacon at my car.
This guy, John Rice of Columbus, Ohio, he writes in, so Gore, like other Democrats, slams the president for what he's done and then slams him for what he hasn't done. I think the Clinton-Gore team did nothing to stop the spread of terror. Well, you know, if Bill Clinton had gone into Iraq in 1998 and stole all their oil, would we be any safer?
What's interesting is that a lot of Republicans are still trying to blame Clinton for the rise in terrorism worldwide. But what did Bush do, you know, for the 8 months he was in office?
Bingo. That has to be the gold standard. You know, they say, why didn't Clinton protect the USS Cole? Well, you know, it's a warship pulling into a Yemen port. How is Clinton supposed to protect them when it's a warship pulling into a port? Was he supposed to stand there and say, hold on, I'll check the dock before you guys pull in? It's a warship. It's supposed to be able to protect itself. That's crazy. And the attack on the first World Trade Center, or the first World Trade Center attack, they always like to say how they got away with that. No, they're in prison.
Yes, we got every single one of them.
And as far as the embassy bombings, what, there's 190 embassies? Clinton's supposed to personally protect each one? Why doesn't the State Department take some kind of actions to protect their own damn employees over there?
And if I remember right, terrorism's kind of been around for a long time. It didn't start September 11th.
No, it started when the BFEE put bin Laden in power. They coached him. They gave him billions, or at least millions, and they gave him Stinger missiles. They did all this. They gave it to bin Laden so he could screw with Russia over in Afghanistan. And then because April Gillespie told Saddam he could have Kuwait, then we had to go into Saudi Arabia, and that's what turned bin Laden against us. He was once George W.'s partner, and now he turns against us because... Bush's daddy put troops in Saudi Arabia, and that's why they blew up the World Trade Center. This all gets back to Bush.
That's true. Bin Laden flat out admitted one of the reasons why he was anti-American is because troops were invading Saudi Arabia, or not invading, but they were stationed there, and he considered that against the will of Allah. Who placed those troops there? Bush Sr. But also, I seem to remember a really big terrorist act that killed a bunch of Marines in Beirut, Lebanon.
Bingo, and that's when Reagan turned and ran. He showed the terrorists that if you bomb a few of our people, we'll scurry out of town. We'll run away. Reagan taught him that lesson personally. But we can't talk about any of this unless we prioritize the 18 that died under Clinton. See, the 240 under Reagan, we look past that because those 18 were important.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, now that we're on a really high note, why don't we take a real quick break?
Cool.
And we'll be back with more news. We'll get into some sports, maybe some money and entertainment. So once again, news with Tommy Mac and Bart Kopp.